The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Hi, this is Kevin McCullough. Thanks for listening to the Christian Outlook podcast, where we cover today's issues from a perspective that honors your Christian faith. Our podcast is brought to you through a partnership with the Pepperdine Graduate School of Public Policy. Here's another piece I trust you'll enjoy.
What's the state of the Western Church right now? We have lost the sacredness of our walk. That so many people, high-profile pastors, and they're tapping out. They're saying, I don't believe anymore. You know, what's going on here? I have my own take on that. But what's really going on here? There's a new Barna research poll out. If I was to ask you, in the United States of America, how many Americans have a biblical worldview? Of the 340 million we have in our country, the overwhelming majority say they believe in God. You know, does that mean they're Christian? You know, you can whittle it down, but you're still talking about tens of millions of people would say they're Christian. How many do you think? What percentage of Americans have a biblical worldview, believing the Bible is inerrant, God's word? I have it right here. It's always open in front of me during every program. What do you think the percentage will be? 6%. 6% of Americans have a biblical worldview. Now, this data also, among other things, 51% of American adults say they have a biblical worldview, but only 6 actually hold to the worldview. In other words, oh yeah, I believe in the Bible and Jesus hung on a cross. But when you get down to the details of this particular Barna research study, 6% really hold true that the Bible is God's complete word. And for me, the implications of that are initially kind of shocking, but then I kind of think through things. I'm like, well, no wonder we've got such division over social maladies in the church. Whether it's about racism, the sin of racism, or doctrinal differences, or whatever it is. If only 6% of us really believe God's word is true, it's obvious that Satan is having his way. He's having a field day. Let me try it from a different angle. One of our most anointed preachers, you'll recognize this man, is Tony Evans.
See, what people want to do in the spiritual realm is they want to audit the Christian life. You know what auditing a class is. Auditing a class means I want the information, but not the work. See, you audit the class because you don't want to do no homework. You don't want reading assignments. You don't want to take tests. You don't want that. But you want the information. You want the information that comes from the class. Here we are. Many people come to church because they want to audit the Christian life. They want the information from the pulpit. They want the information from the Bible. They want to be able to quote verses and say they went to church. But what they don't want are the home assignments. They don't want the responsibility. They don't want the commitment. They don't want the dedication. They don't want priority. But they want to be able to say, I went to class. So they want to audit the Christian life. Let me explain something. Salvation is free. You don't have to do anything for salvation. It comes because you trust Jesus Christ as your Savior. But experiencing God's reality in history has a price. God doesn't want to give a double portion to folk who can't use it. And you don't want to give your hard-earned money in your physical will to folk who are going to waste it. You don't want to just pass your will on to folk who are going to take your life savings and blow it up in a month, because that's a waste of that portion. God doesn't want to waste his glory, and he doesn't want to waste the supernatural, so he wants to give it to folk who want it and who are not going to leave just because it's inconvenient.
Pastor Tony Evans, obviously. We're blessed to have him weekdays at noon here on KKLA with The Alternative. So let me just spend a moment and talk about this Jesus. Whether you know him as Savior and Lord, whether you say you do, or whether you have no idea. Now, Pastor Evans was really hitting it hard at the beginning. We go to church, we can quote scripture, and we want to get the information, but we don't want to do the work. I hated homework in school. I still have high school nightmares of not being prepared to take the test. And that was a few years ago, to say the least. But to do the work, I'm reading Hank Hanegraaff's book, Truth Matters, Life Matters More. And Hank's gone through a metamorphosis in his life. Maybe some of you have listened to him on The Bible Answer Man. He talks a lot about the early church. And I just want to try to share this with you. It is very normal and logical at times that we have a dark night of the soul, or our faith will be challenged and we're like, God, I don't even know if I believe in you anymore. But I also think that we're seeing something more and more that is a symptom of a deeper problem. And very simply put, we're not all in. For whatever reasons, we may have said, I'm a Christian, or I give my life to the Lord. Maybe it was a moment of emotion. Whatever it is, it's in a sense easy to do that. But then your sanctification process, your walk, here's where things change. And I'll give a personal anecdote. I got an email this morning from a listener who used to listen to me in the old days and can't believe, in his words, I'd become a Jesus freak. The email was somewhat scathing, and I just give that honor and glory to my Savior. Like he said, they're going to hate you. But here's the point. I don't want to over-glorify my life before Christ. Sometimes I hear testimonies and people, it's like they go on and on about the good old days and then they became a follower of Christ and here's my new life in Christ. But they somehow glamorize the old days. You know, me, the world I came from, one of my good friends is a probably one of the most acknowledged drummers in the whole world of music. He has an autobiography out called Sex, Drugs, and Rock and Roll. He lives it. And I lived in that world for a lot of years. I gave my life to the Lord at 54. Please stay with me. This is important. This is about you. This is about us. This is about God ultimately. So we kind of glamorize the good old days. And then you give your life to the Lord, and then it's on. And I don't want to say that world, if you will, before Christ was just all hunky-dory. You've got a lot of struggles, you know, depression, substance abuse, all of that. But am I the only one? When I gave my life to the Lord, literally all hell broke loose. People I thought really loved me didn't love me so much. I've been doing radio 35 years. On my radio program, people that that said they were so grateful for me. Man, you talk about turning on a dime. Oh, now you're one of those. Now you're a Jesus freak. Oh, I know what you people are about. You're hypocrites. You're hateful. Listen to the prominent voice of secularism in this day and age. We're the hate mongers. We're the bigots. We're the ones that don't love everybody because we hold to a biblical worldview, all 6% of us. But I will tell you this, I didn't understand early on. I didn't really get discipled. Because when I gave my life to the Lord, it all broke loose. And I remember thinking, having thoughts, not my own. I didn't realize at the time, like, man, this Christian thing, this is, here's some of the thoughts that went through my mind. This is not cut out what I thought it was supposed to be. Or, man, I not only do I not feel more happy, I feel less happy, right? All of these, all of these sentiments that I would think, hey, the grass isn't greener. Like this walk as a Christian, man, this is, world's looking pretty good right now. And then one night, if you will, in my dark night of the soul, it all came clear. Satan is a liar. The world doesn't believe Satan's even real. I mean, just look around. And for those of you that are non-believers, I challenge you right now. If you don't really believe evil exists or is a force, you look around and you tell me, do things look different at all to you? Are things changing? We had another shooting in San Jose today. This is like, okay, we get desensitized to this. The news will cover it, and it's tragic and awful, literally. But we just kind of go about our way. Satan is a liar. The Bible clearly says Jesus' words. He's interested in destroying you, destroying your family. And so I can't do this life without him. I don't want to do this life without him. You non-believer that listen to my program, what are you doing with your life? Who are you living your life for? For you? How empty is that? Where it's just you and or if you got a bunch of bucks in the bank and we all agree we're all going to die one day, so what's going to happen to your money then? I'm not in recovery, but I'm struck by the 12-step program and about surrendering to God and giving and making amends and service. Look at the state of our country. We're in a mess. And then we come to know, by the study, 6% of Americans have a biblical worldview. Well, no wonder. If we were truly followers of Jesus and sold out for the gospel and lived our lives accordingly by the power of the Holy Spirit, you don't think things would change? You don't think our country would be in a completely different place? And again, hear me. I'm not here to beat you up. I'm not here to guilt trip you. I'm here to say we can point to the leftists or whoever else that we think is the reason why we are in the situation we're in. But for those of you that profess faith in Christ, how's your walk? Back in Jesus' time, 12 men minus one. And then you may throw Paul into the equation, back to 12. When Jesus was crucified on the cross, they scattered like little frightened mice. He wasn't the Messiah. He's not who we thought he was. They're hiding out for their lives, terrified. And then Jesus arose on the third day, and hundreds of people saw him. I'm not even going to get into the debate. You can't prove that. Of course you can, historically. Non-believers wrote about him after he was crucified. But here's the point. When the 11 saw him, game changer, they went from being terrified, alone, confused, to saying, I am now fearless. I have nothing to lose and everything to gain. They went out and shared the gospel. Scores of people got saved. I think 10 of the 11 ended up being martyred in horrific ways, but they went freely to that final breath because they knew the truth. And Christian, if you're one of the 6% that have a biblical worldview, praise God for you. But there are scores of you that don't know him, don't have a relationship with him. You just kind of have him on the back 40 for when you have that moment of doubt. God, are you there? I need you now. Versus the way it can be. But it takes discipline. Like Tony Evans said, man, we don't want to do the work. To pray. To fast. To give. To live for the Lord. You know, I'm really grieved by what's going on in the country. I see this as the manifest of spiritual warfare. Here, evil doesn't even hide itself anymore. But I'm even more deeply grieved by the Christian that isn't engaged in the fight. It's like we've forgotten we have a common enemy. And it's not you and me because of the color of our skin, church. We have these conversations and these interactions and debates and, frankly, fights in the church because we think somehow we have this systemic sin of racism, and this is so heinous, and it's not getting any better, and it's the country, and it's the founders, and we need to change it all. Jesus has already done that. Why can't we stand shoulder to shoulder in our differences, in our disagreements, and be unified in him, and then show the world who he is? My goodness gracious. Where are the followers of Jesus that know, not believe, that know what he has done in your life that is him and not you? By the power of God, your life has been transformed in so many ways. But it starts with you having a willingness to give him your all, give him your best. Jesus said to love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, with all of your mind, with all of your spirit. What are we doing? All of the freedoms we have in our country that some of us, for whatever reasons, seem to be so willing to give away. I just did 2 hours with my friend, been in India almost a dozen times, and what's going on there? I don't want to necessarily compare the cultures, but, and I don't want to say everything's been just so peachy keen in our country, but look, you've probably got 8 Bibles at home. There are people around the world that not only don't have a Bible, they've given their lives to the Lord. They don't even know if they're going to live through the rest of the day because they may lose their life, be persecuted for their faith in Christ. I'm not a pastor, so if I sound a little harsh, I'm just saying, wake up. Repent. Serve the Lord in this time of dire need. And let us change the world in Christ. Let me end as I began for a moment.
See, what people want to do in the spiritual realm is they want to audit the Christian life. So you know what auditing a class is. Auditing a class means I want the information, but not the work. See, you audit the class because you don't want to do no homework. You don't want reading assignments. You don't want to take tests. You don't want that. But you want the information. You want the information that comes from the class. Here we are. Many people come to church because they want to audit the Christian life. They want the information from the pulpit. They want the information from the Bible. They want to be able to quote verses and say they went to church. But what they don't want are the home assignments. They don't want the responsibility. They don't want the commitment. They don't want the dedication. They don't want priority. But they want to be able to say, I went to class.
I would hope we've got some people convicted by that. And you're like, oh, I think that's me. Where have I been? 6% of Americans have a biblical worldview.
See, what people want to do in the spiritual realm is they want to audit the Christian life. So you know what auditing a class is. Auditing a class means I want the information, but not the work. See, you audit the class because you don't want to do no homework. You don't want reading assignments. You don't want to take tests. You don't want that. But you want the information. You want the information that comes from the class. Here we are. Many people come to church because they want to audit the Christian life. They want the information from the pulpit. They want the information from the Bible. They want to be able to quote verses and say they went to church. But what they don't want are the home assignments. They don't want the responsibility. They don't want the commitment. They don't want the dedication. They don't want priority. But they want to be able to say, I went to class. So they want to audit the Christian life. Let me explain something. Salvation is free. You don't have to do anything for salvation. It comes because you trust Jesus Christ as your Savior. But experiencing God's reality in history has a price. God doesn't want to give a double portion to folk who can't use it. And you don't want to give your hard-earned money in your physical will to folk who are going to waste it. You don't want to just pass your will on the folk who are going to take your life savings and blow it up in a month, because that's a waste of that portion. God doesn't want to waste his glory, and he doesn't want to waste the supernatural, so he wants to give it to folk who want it and who are not going to leave just because it's inconvenient.
Are you living a convenient life as a Christian? Checking the boxes, going to church, not wanting to do the homework or the hard work, praying and fasting. And yet we have our moments, we cry out, God, where are you? My faith, I don't know if I can continue being a Christian. We see pastors tapping out. You know what's amazing to me, Sue? I'm going to take you on in a moment too. What's amazing to me is a man that's only been in the Lord for 11 years, me. New age teacher, all that stuff I used to do. Man, the power of the Holy Spirit is in me. That's what the Bible says. He's in you too, if you've given your life to the Lord. What is up with the Western church? What is up with those of us that live in our country that we're struggling so much? What's up with that? Do you really think God is the problem? I just, maybe it's just a season I'm in. I'm the problem. Sin is the problem, but my choices are the problem. And the ultimate problem is Satan. And we don't even believe. We don't even believe what the Bible says about Satan. And I'm not here to say I stubbed my toe this morning, Satan. Flat tire on the way to work, Satan. It's not what I'm saying. But what I'm saying, when you minimize the enemy in the war that you are in, whether you admit it or not, we are in a war, you'll have people tapping out. No more. Can't do this anymore. No, this Christian walk, it's too hard. No, I was vulnerable back then. I just had a weak moment, and now I wanna search for my own personal happiness. I want to be self-sufficient. I deserve such things. Man, if I was preaching in a church right now, I would say, oh, don't you get up and walk out now. Don't you leave me now. I'm just telling you. As a sinner to another sinner, the majority of our struggle is at our own doing. God wants to speak to us and lead us more than we're willing to listen and be led. He's here alive right now by the power of the Holy Spirit. Jesus wants to lead your life. But he said, you got to love your Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and spirit, everything you have. And if you go halfway, one foot in, one foot out, guess what? That is a recipe for disaster.
Thanks for listening to Christian Outlook. Our program is coming to you today in partnership with the Pepperdine Graduate School of Public Policy. It's America's most unique graduate leadership programs offered on Pepperdine's breathtaking campus in Malibu, California. Learn more at publicpolicy.pepperdine.edu. If you enjoy our podcast, take a moment and tell a friend to subscribe today.